Okay. Do we have any more prayer requests? No? Okay. Oh, the sun getting you? Okay. Open your Bibles up to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. And we're going to be talking about faith. And the thing about faith, ultimately, the thing about faith is trust. And the thing about trust is always knowledge of Him. See, you're not going to operate in faith in the things of God if you don't trust God. And you're not going to trust God if you don't know Him. Now, I'm not talking merely knowing about Him. I'm talking about knowing Him. Excuse me. I don't know how much dust a guy can breathe. Evidently, we're finding out. But, you know, I've ran into people that knew a lot about God and they just didn't know Him. You know, they had a lot of head knowledge, you know, and maybe even some of them went to theological school for years. And they know a lot about doctrine, they know a lot about God, but they don't know Him. There's a difference. And I was kind of wondered about that. And then Glenn Smith told me one time he went to a pastor's convention and got about 20 or 30 pastors born again. See, these were people that were already preaching from behind the pulpit. They knew about God, they didn't know Him. See, there is a difference. And that's, I know you'll get these questions at some point. And as long as you keep this in your knowledge tank, that there are churchgoers and there are believers. See, there's a lot of people that go to church every Sunday and they're trying as hard as they can, but they've never been born again. And if they're not born again, they don't know God. They may know about Him. They may know some stories about Jesus, but they don't know Him. And see, without knowing God, without knowing Him personally, you're not going to be able to be led by the Spirit of God. See, that's how we come up with all these crazy ideas. People that maybe know about God, maybe they went to school for a long time, maybe they've been preaching for a long time, but they don't know God. So they end up with crazy ideas. Like the latest one I heard was somebody called Jesus a snot-nosed brat. And this guy is really high in his denomination. And then there's some that come up with the idea that it's okay to have gay pastors. You see, they may know about God. They may know some theology. They don't know God. You know, not being led by the Spirit of God when they come up with stuff like that. It's important to know the difference. Then now, when somebody comes up and asks you why so-and-so did something, you can explain to them that there are people that go to church and there is the church. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of an Egyptian, brought him to the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had saved bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after all things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went unto the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when he saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. She laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spoke unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now, one of the first things you need to understand about Joseph, he got thrown in prison in a foreign land, and he didn't have any connections, he didn't have any contacts, he didn't have any prospects, but he considered himself a prosperous man because God was with him, and God prospered him. He started operating in some special gifts, and he interpreted some dreams, and it got him out of that prison cell. And it actually, he was second only to the Pharaoh. But he knew his God. And he wouldn't be swayed into anything that would hurt his relationship with God. And in fact, he put his own neck on the line. You know, the Pharaoh's wife was really being a snake, and she got him in a lot of trouble. But Joseph knew to trust God. The only way he could know to trust God is because he knew him. He knew him. Now let's look over to Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. You know, one of the things I like about Abraham, is the Bible tells us that he became fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he would do. And here in verse 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Literally, Jesus is telling us to learn of Him. You know, one of the ways we abide in the vine is we open up that Bible and we understand that He's the vine, we're the branches. And we are not going to have any fruit produced on our branches if we're not attached to that vine. Our life is going to come only from that vine. So when we take His word and we read in there, and we find out what He did to us, what He's doing for us right now, what He's going to do for us, who He is, we're actually learning of Him. And then, see, He told us to meditate on His word, so when we find something in there, we reread it, and maybe it strikes a chord in you. That's the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, get a hold of this. So we start looking at that verse even a little more. And we look at that some more and we meditate on that some more. We're learning of Him. And then pretty soon we get a revelation of it. Then we know Him in another way. You know, one of my first lessons on that was Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. You know, because I got born again and it seems like the first thing that happened to me was all these different preachers showed up and they said, well, you didn't do it right. So I said, well, I said the sinner's prayer. And they said, he doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. Well, I had to go find Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. And I had to sit there and look at that verse, say that verse over and over again, say, you know, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus back to life. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. What was I doing? I was learning of Him. Number one. Number two, I was meditating on His word. Number three, I finally got that sunk into my spirit where I had it. I knew it. I knew it. It was mine. Everything else, we're going to do the same way. You know, we're going to find out, you know, whenever there's a problem, it's because there's something that's already been established that's right. You know, that sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? To say that if there's a problem, the answer's already been established. Why can I say that? Because the first thing that happened was the blessing. The blessing was established first. The curse didn't come until after Adam sinned. So the answer was first. So whenever we find something wrong, go to the Bible and find what's right and meditate on that and make it a part of you and enforce what God has already given you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. And this it's in the Bible. And people run around and they say, I believe the Bible 100%, every part of it. Listen to what this says. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You want to know how grace and peace is going to be multiplied to you? It's through the knowledge of Him, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. There's a lot of people that run around thinking that they're destined to be poverty stricken, and that's so far from the Bible truth, you couldn't get any farther. And there's some people running around saying they're destined to be a bachelor all their life, only if they choose to be. Didn't it just read right there? It said that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Does a spouse pertain unto life and godliness? Let me ask you this. Does a vehicle pertain unto life and godliness? Yes. Does a job pertain unto life and godliness? Yes. So for these preachers that say, well, he'll meet your need. You need food, clothing, and shelter. He'll meet your need as they come. Well, that's a pretty small picture of Jesus, isn't it? You know, the Bible tells us that he has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. Not only does he want to meet your needs, your food, clothing, and shelter, but he wants to meet the desires of your heart, too. You know, he put those desires in your heart. Did you know that? You know, there's some people that are just not doing what God created them to do because the system, I guess, the status quo said you need to go to high school, you get a degree, and then you go to college, and you get a degree, and then you go get a job in that degree, and you work for 40 years while you pay off your four-bedroom house and your two-car garage and your cars, and you put this money in your IRA, and you do this and you do that. So they do that, and they get to 70 if they're fortunate enough to retire, if they can retire at 70. I ran into a 70-year-old man out in the oil field. I was out there doing something to a truck, and he come up there, and I said, "What are you doing out here?" And he said, "Well, I was going to retire. Had a good IRA, and Obama got elected, and he decided I didn't need my IRA anymore. Remember when he took money out of people's IRAs? It was gone. He worked all that time, and all of a sudden he didn't get to retire no more." That's not God's design. He said, "Do not store up your treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal." Isn't that what he said? You know, that verse, I don't know how many times that's floated through my head. You know, I was working for a company and they said, you need to get into this IRA we got for you here. And I said, "I don't want that." And they said, "No, how are you going to retire?" And I said, "Not your system." You know, I've watched a lot of guys, they worry constantly about the money in their IRA. You know, what they got invested in all these stocks, and then all of a sudden the stock market's down. And my brother one time, he said, "I don't even open that thing up anymore. I just don't even look at it anymore." I told him, I said, "You know, you ought to put that IRA into gold and silver. You can have a gold and silver IRA. You know the special thing about gold and silver? That's God's money. That's his way of doing things. But the thing about understanding the word of faith is having knowledge of him of who it is, what it is you need, but knowing Him. You know, everything you need is wrapped up in Him. I notice it's easy when you need something, and you can even do it biblically. When you need something, say you need healing really bad in your body, and it's easy to get focused on that healing and you start chasing the healing, when really you need to just run to Him. The healing's in Him. You know, the blessing is in Him. Everything you need is in Him. You know, it's kind of a struggle for most people. We'll end up chasing whatever it is we need, when what we really need to do is run to Him, and that whatever we need will be met in Him. You see how that works? It's all wrapped up in Him. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Says, huh? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. See, He doesn't want us to trust in our riches. He doesn't want us to trust in our own wealth. He wants us to trust in God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And I know two really, really good examples. One of the pretty wealthy oil man in Oklahoma. And he was going along just fine one day, and then the next day he was broke. He was busted. Oh, something happened. Something terrible happened in the oil field, and he was done. And somebody said, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to believe God. I said, I can get back there. I got God. I'm going to be fine. He didn't have his trust in the riches of the oil field. He had his trust in God. So he was going to be just fine. Another man that was extremely wealthy, he put his riches in the worldly system. And he was busted. Next thing you know, he was driving a truck. He went from being a multimillionaire to being a truck driver. That's two different systems. One guy was rich, even though he didn't have any money in his pocket. One guy was broke, even though he had millions in the bank account. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. You know, we have a New Testament promise just like that. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's too many Christians running around acting like they've been abandoned by God. You know, something happens, they act like they've been abandoned. And I thought it was kind of funny. I was talking to a guy yesterday about communion, and I said, you know, something like that, I don't mind taking minerals and supplements, it seems like I'm drawing more to the communion because I have less and less trust in the world and more confidence in what God can do for me. You know, if something happens, I want to run to Jesus before I run to the world. See, that's when you know Him. So many people, when something happens, they'll run to the doctor. And I'm not saying, you know, if you don't feel good, there's nothing. If you have to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. If you have to take medicine, take medicine. But really, spend a little more time checking in with God. You know, if you have to go do something medically, if get it done, but run to God first. Amen. Get back over here. It said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. You want to have good success? Meditate on His Word. Find whatever it is you're working on in the New Testament. Find the promise for whatever it is that you need or desire. Find it in the Word and then meditate on that. Go over and over and over it again. It's not about memorizing a verse, but what it is about getting it in your heart. Have a revelation of it. And don't get frustrated if you go over this verse and you go over it and over and over and over and over it again, and you sit there and you think, I still don't get it. I've been there. I'm still there on some verses. But I've been there a lot. But don't beat yourself up over it. Because I remember one time I meditated on a verse for a long time, and I thought, man, I am never going to understand what he's talking about in this. I thought, how? And I kept going over it. And finally one day I was eating a plate of Mexican food with somebody, and somebody said something, and the thing dropped in my spirit, and I said, I got it. I got it. I finally got it. But that's okay. He'll get it. He'll get it downloaded to us, you know. But here's the thing: we got to put it in there first. We're not going to understand something in our heart until we put it there, you know. And don't beat yourself up if you can't understand it upstairs. Get it in here. You know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of crazy thoughts, but their hearts are right, they believe right, and God blesses them. Thank God. Everybody needs to thank God. You can't figure out in your head how He made you a new creature in Christ and that you're going to go to heaven. Now, can you? Have you ever figured out how He changed your heart, how the Holy Spirit went in there and made things right? Has anybody ever figured that? No, but we believe it, don't we? See, we don't have to have it up here. We have to have it here. Just because you can't figure it out here, that doesn't mean you can't believe it here. And the only way you're going to believe it here is to take it from here and put it in here, so you can put it in here, so it goes in here goes back in here. When you say it, you hear it, and it goes in your heart. Then you say it again, you hear it, and it goes back in your heart. That's why he said to meditate on his word. I mean, say it over and over and over again. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Let's see. Meditating on the Bible, I have to take it and just read it for a long time because I couldn't even remember one little verse. And finally I found I had this coin that had one verse on it. With God, all things are possible. Well, I could carry that coin around with me and I could say that. And I finally memorized one. With God, all things are possible. And then I remembered another one. And then I remembered another one. And then after some struggle, I remembered a whole psalm. It was a short psalm, but I remembered it. Don't get frustrated with yourself if you don't just magically memorize half the Bible. That's not what it's about. It's about meditating on that and getting it in your heart. See, it's good to memorize something, but then go out there by yourself and say it to yourself so you can hear yourself say it and it gets in your heart so you get a revelation of it. Then guess what happens? Then you know him. You know more about him. You know him in another way. You don't just know about him, you know him. That's what we're after. After all, we're not going to have faith in somebody that we don't trust. And we're not going to trust somebody that we don't know. How many of you would walk up to a perfect stranger on the street and give them $500 and say, hold on to this while I run down to the store. When I come back, I'll get it back from you. How many of you would do that? No. But what if it was somebody that you really knew and you really trusted them? You'd say, here, would you hold on to this $500? I have to go somewhere. You could do that now, wouldn't you? You could give Ron $500, couldn't you? And you could run down to the store and you can come back and you wouldn't be worried about it. But the guy down the street might have a little bit harder time. Why? Because you don't know him. So you can't trust him. So you'll have no confidence in him. But when you have confidence in somebody, because you know them, then you can operate in faith with them. That's why he said to meditate on his word. That's why he said to look into his word. That's why Abraham, you see, the Bible tells us that Abraham became fully persuaded. The only way Abraham could become fully persuaded is because he had to meditate on what God said. You know, he had to think about what God told him. God cut a covenant with him. And it gave him a promise. And he believed it for a long time, but he just struggled with it for a long time too. And then finally, what happened? God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He changed his vocabulary, and it wasn't very long later, Isaac was born. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you that we can have trust and confidence in you and that we can go boldly into your presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And it's because of Jesus. That's why we have this boldness. And that's how come we can go into your presence. We can go talk to you one-on-one, because that's the way you designed us. So, Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.